some of the ones that are being called out now are the kinds of things that I was hearing last week as well. How many of those things are fear of something that's going to happen in the future? You know, fear of poverty, you know, not having enough money, fear of getting older, fear of losing something, fear of maybe having some pain at some time. These are all things we're afraid of, things that are going to be coming in the future, aren't we? And that really struck me when I heard this, that, you know, a lot of them were fears of natural disasters. Well, look at, have you been reading the newspapers about Haiti? The last count I saw today was up to 50,000 people killed in that earthquake, and it's climbing, you know. Who knows what the final toll will be? There have been some incredible disasters in the last few years, haven't there? I mean, they said in Haiti that was by far the worst disaster they've had in over 100 years in Haiti. So many things, we're not sure about the future, are we? We're not sure about what's coming. All we know is, I mean, how many have read the book of Revelation lately? Has that caused some more fears? I mean, you read some of those things and it's a little scary, isn't it? About the things that are coming. How many of you believe we're in the end times? If we're not there yet, how many of you believe we're getting a lot closer than we were yesterday? Yeah. And we're told to look for the signs of the times, aren't we? I see a lot of signs of the times happening, don't you? Things are happening. We do have some fears when we're honest about it. We have some fears about what might be coming down the road, don't we? Here we are in a new year, 2010. How many of you have lots of expectation and anticipation, excitement about the things that God's doing, going to do in this next year? Yes, we do, don't we? Again, we look in the book of Revelation and we see the good things that God's promised. We look at the end time promises that are in the Word of God, and it says, like, for those who fear my name, there'll be healing that will arise in his wings, and all kinds of things that he promises that are for those of us that love him, that we have good things to look forward to, don't we? There's so much hope that Scripture gives us. I'm going to read even Malachi. Did I bring that up here with me? Yeah, Malachi 4, 1 to 2 says, surely the day is coming, again, an end times kind of verse. The day is coming, it'll burn like a furnace, and all the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. It'll set them on fire, says the Lord. But for you who fear my name, yay, the buts. You know, we're going to grab the blessings and the promises and the favors of God, aren't we? It says, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap and skip like calves released from the stall. Wow. See, there are good promises, good things that are promised to us. So, yeah, I think everywhere we go, and even when I was talking to Clive again on the way here from the airport, bless this man. He stayed 2.5 hours with us at Air New Zealand Cargo trying to help us get our gear and all our guitars that they didn't want to release unless we paid $900. Well, that's a story in itself. We only had to pay, just $400 or something, not $9 in the end, but back and forth. So bless your patience, Clive. I appreciate your help with that. But, you know, we go through things sometimes. We don't understand why. Like, to me, that's a waste of kingdom finances. It really is. No matter where it comes from, it's a waste of kingdom finances. And, you know, again, we just say, just a minute, things aren't fair. We don't understand. The ways of the world are different than ours. Have you noticed that? The ways of man are different than the ways of the kingdom of God. And what I was thinking about today, because, again, you want to figure out what is God saying? You know, what are you going to learn through this? We want to learn through things, don't we? I mean, you know, did you know you never fail something? You never fail a test that God puts you through? Did you know that? You just get to keep taking it over again until you pass. And sometimes, you know, you think, I'm not passing yet. Well, you know, you have to just sort of watch your attitude all day. It's like, okay, I've got to forgive them. They're just trying to do their job. You know, and just when you're starting to give up hope, you know, in humanity, you know, we had gone from Air New Zealand over back to customs again, back and forth. And just when we were starting to give up hope and we went back to customs and arrived there, had driven there, we were about to get out of the car and Jeremy said, do you have the paperwork? And I'm looking, I don't have the paperwork. Don't you have the paperwork? I don't have the paperwork. We look out the window. The lady from the Air New Zealand desk had found that we had left the paperwork there. And she got in her car and drove over to customs and handed it to us. Now, isn't that sweet? That was so sweet. You know, she didn't need to do that. You know, left her post in order to do that for us. And I thought, just when you're giving up on mankind, you know, then something like that happens and you realize there is some good in some people yet, isn't there? And also, good in God. You see how God does that for us. And He'll reach out in the middle of a hard thing you're going through and, you know, give you something special. A little treat, a little gift to just say, you know how much I love you. He's so good at doing that kind of thing. Just when we feel like giving up, that He'll do that for us. And I was just thinking through some of these things again, just the last couple of years, I've been really, it's really impacting me how things in the natural are really an example of something in the supernatural realm. Like, it's hitting me more and more because I'm finding more and more things that's true of. And I'm just starting to realize that. You know, we talk about things, for instance, like God gave us a father. He gave you a father because He wanted to demonstrate to you His fatherly love. It's something in the supernatural that He wanted to explain to you, and He gave you a father to explain that to you, to be there for you, to love you, to care for you, to encourage you, to help you along in life, all those things to demonstrate God's love for you. And that's why we talk about Father Heart of God issues and dealing with hurts from our Father and things, because it has so distorted our view of what our Heavenly Father's like, hasn't it? If our fathers don't live up to that, they don't just fail us, they fail Father God, because He says, I gave that to you as an example so you'd know my fatherly love and care and nurture for you. He gave us mothers too to show us His nurturing side, you know, the comforting side, all the things that mothers have in order to demonstrate another aspect of His love. And He gave us husbands and wives. I'll probably even talk more about that tomorrow a bit when we talk about intimacy with God. Because we know that God gave us husbands and wives because He wanted to demonstrate a very intimate love one to another, to demonstrate the kind of intimate love we can have with Him, heart to heart, spirit to spirit, where He, you know, we're so connected with Him, spirit to spirit. And He gave it that to as an example. Well, no wonder the enemy's going to come along and try to mess that one up too, right? But I'm just realizing more and more the things on the natural earth are explaining things in the spiritual realm. And, you know, I have yet to find out. I had a nice long time to soak in God's presence a couple days ago in Fiji before we had our fiasco at the customs thing with John and Jan trying to get their passport, a temporary passport issue. But this, you know, a couple of days ago, just lying by the pool, and I was just looking up, and as it was just soaking, it's like as soon as you turn your attention to the Lord, did you notice that you start to think about spiritual things more? You know, the kingdom of God and the things that really matter in the kingdom. And it's in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16, it says, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. It's talking about that veil into the most holy place. And then it goes on, the verse that we're all more familiar with, and then we with unveiled faces, then all reflect the Lord's glory and are changed by His glory, transformed into His likeness from glory to glory, aren't we? But it starts by saying, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil's taken away. See, as soon as you give your time and attention to the Lord and to the kingdom, things change. The perspective you have on life changes. And the things that are important in the kingdom start to matter more than the things that are in the natural. And we start getting a whole new perspective because we start to see things the way God does. Isn't that true? And I know that you're probably, if you're like me, you're hearing in the last few years wonderful teachers that are talking about more about the spiritual realm and how to access things into that spiritual realm. And I've just found that one little key was just so helpful for me to read that verse, to say, yeah, all it is I turn my time and my affection, my attention to God. And as soon as I think about Him, no matter what I'm doing all day, whether I'm at work, or, you know, what, you know, if, a couple days ago it was at the swimming pool. Things changed. It's like something shifted all around me, and I became aware of that spiritual realm that is all around me. You see, we're spirit, aren't we? We're created as spiritual beings. And, you know, we're much more conscious about the natural part of us, the natural body. We can see it, we can touch it and feel it tangibly right away, right? And it's sort of a little more nebulous in the spiritual realm. You know, you can't see it quite as easily. You know, you can't hear things quite as easily, right? We have to kind of tune in our ears to hear, don't we? To hear that still small voice when the Lord whispers to you, speaks to you. You have to tune in your eyes to see and start to get visions. But you know what I found out? I realized if I'm not hearing and seeing much lately, you know why? Because I haven't been looking and listening. I've got to spend time doing that. But it's like I have to turn my time and focus on Him. You know, Colossians 3, 1 to 3 says, set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things, right? Set your hearts, and then it says, set your minds on things, your hearts and your mind, on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. But also when you look at Ephesians 2, 6, you'll see you're also seated up there with Him in those heavenly realms, aren't you? We're already that close to the spiritual realm that we are seated with Him in heavenly realms, in heavenly places. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms right now, not just when we get to heaven, but we start to live in that supernatural realm of heaven now. And there are so many things. I realized Jesus was trying to get it through to us. You think about what Jesus talked about. When He's talking about the kingdom of heaven, and that's really what we're talking about here, isn't it? Is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, but it's kingdom here on earth. Do you want to live in that kingdom realm here on earth? I do, right? You want to access all the things from heaven that are ours, our inheritance, and bring it to earth, right? Well, we do it by starting to live in that kingdom realm right now and not just think of it down the road or think of something that's so hard. It's not hard to access. We've made it so complicated and so hard. But just like that verse, you just turn to the Lord and you think of Him. And you already, it's like you step into that spiritual realm right away. I said Jesus talked about parables all the time. He said the kingdom of God is something like this. You know, and I talk about the sowing of the seeds or about fishing or the pearl of great price, all of those things. He would talk to us in a term of something we would understand. To fishermen, he'd talk about fish, right? And to the farmers, he'd talk about the sowing of seeds. He will talk to you in a language that you understand. As far as he'll talk to you and say to you, I don't know, when he gives you a vision, he might give you a vision of something that's really personal to you, very special to you. It might not mean a thing to me, but to you it means something very, very specific, right? He does that for us. He reaches out to teach us that because he's saying the kingdom of God is something like that. When in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to him, Jesus said to him, you must be born again. And he's like, what do you mean? Do I get back in my mother's womb and be born all over again? Jesus actually rebuked him. He said, you are a teacher of the law, and yet you don't understand this? In other words, you know, you're a teacher. You're a spiritual man here. You ought to be understanding what I'm doing here. And then he said, if I speak to you about earthly things, and you don't understand and you don't believe, how are you going to believe if I talk to you about heavenly things? In other words, he's saying, I'm telling you something, explaining a spiritual concept to you in a natural form so that you'll get it. Things in heaven are just so beyond us, I think, that we can't grasp so many of those things. But he said, if I explain it to you in a way, like in the parables, that something like this, then we'll start to understand. It'll give us a whole paradigm shift, help us to really understand what he's trying to say to us. And he will do that for you as well. He will do that for you in your everyday life because he's speaking to us in our everyday life all the time. He wants to get things through to us through the things that are happening to us in our everyday life to say, I want to show you something that's true in the kingdom realm and the spiritual realm of heaven. And if you're anything like me, though, what happens is you start getting so bogged down with what's going on around you. Like when I'm talking to the customs guy and trying to get our luggage released. And, you know, when we were with John and Janice and you know, they're explaining all these things that they want you to do. It's like they're making this mountain that you can't get over to try to get, you know, for John and Janice, it was to get a temporary passport to get out of the country. I don't know yet whether they've got that today or not. We're hoping it is. We're praying it in, right? Yeah, but it's like this huge mountain. And, I mean, the mountains seem so big to us, don't they? When we look around with our physical eyes, those mountains get monstrous and totally insurmountable. What did Jesus say to do with the mountain? Speak to it. And what do we do when we speak to it? Yeah, cast it into the sea, right? It's making declarations because what he's saying is, you see a mountain, but if you see it with your physical eyes, you're going to feel totally hopeless. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, we all get there sometimes feeling a little hopeless, don't we? And the mountain just seems too big. We can't get over it. And he says, I don't want you to see with physical eyes. I want you to see with the eyes of your heart. See with the eyes of your heart. Again, just turn to the Lord. Say, Lord, show me what is in the physical, what is in the spiritual realm that is going on here. I want to know what's really going on here. I want to know what's really going on. I haven't figured it all out yet, what's been going on the last 2 days, but I know there's something much more than what I'm seeing with my physical eyes. One thing I said to Clive, you know, when it was our, couldn't get our guitars out, they, you know, they wanted to keep them. They were saying, okay, well, what you can do is we'll hold them here for you. 3 days from now, you can come back and we'll put them on the plane with you and send them home to Toronto. And that way we know you're taking it out of the country again. See, they were worried we're going to leave it here and sell it to somebody or something. So that's why they wanted to charge us GST on it all. Yeah. And it's like, no, these are our personal items. We're just coming to visit for 3 days, and we're going to take it with us. Well, we don't know that. And it's like, you know, so they wanted to keep it. And then I said to Clive, I said, this is an attack against worship. This is an attack against worship. It's not just against us. There's something more going on in the spiritual realm here. The other thing I was thinking is, you know, they're so legalistic. It's like, no, these are the rules. We talk to the manager and this other person. They all say the same thing. These are the rules. We cannot bend them. You cannot do anything about it. This is the way it is. There's no mercy. You know? And after a while, a couple of them, when we explained our stories a few times, a couple of them started, you know, having a heart towards us, but, you know, they couldn't do anything. They're bound by the law. That's what the law does. It's so binding, isn't it? Yeah. You know. We want mercy, not justice. But, you know, when we see things with our natural eyes, we miss out on the things that God's trying to accomplish in our lives. Now, let me ask you a question for a minute. Think about your worst problem. Maybe one you're currently in, one you've had recently, just a horrendous problem you've had. Just think about it for a second. I'll let you forget about it again later, okay? We want to leave those and think about more positive things. But just for a moment, think about that problem. Now, I want to ask you the question, how many of those things, if we're in glory right now, you know, how many of those things would matter? Not many of them, right? No. Why is it we get so bound up with these things? Why do they just, you know, consume us sometimes? When, you know, one day they're not going to matter at all. Like, you know, the things, we need more finances. You know, maybe you need a job. You need a place to live. You need, you know, I mean, all these different things. But these things are so important to us. Now, what about Colossians 3, 1-3 again? Set your hearts on things above, not on things of the earth, not on temporal things. Set your minds on things above. That verse is written in the imperative. You know what that means? It's like a command. It's not, let me give you a suggestion. Maybe if you want to, you can think about you know, heavenly things instead of the earthly things. No, no, no. He's saying, set your hearts and set your minds on things above, will you? You know, he's saying, that's what I want you to do. That's what the Lord is telling us to do. And I said, when we do, things change. Things change all around us, don't they? Now, we do believe that as we are living more in that supernatural realm, in other words, when we put our priorities in line with what God's priorities are, what his value system is instead of our own, we start seeing things the way he does and starting to interpret life through his lenses and how he sees things instead of how we tend to see them with our physical eyes, that when we start doing that and focusing the way he does, something I've noticed is then the things that matter in heaven break through into this earth, and God's will and God's plan is accomplished here on earth. Have you noticed that? And often when we keep our eyes focused on those other things, the big mountains, they just stay there. They just stay there. It's like, according to your faith, so be it done. Oh, where's my faith at? Do I have more faith in the mountain than I have faith in God that he can overcome it? And said, when we start to see things his way, things are different. There, you know, when I start to look at that, see the number of things where God gives us signs and symbols and things in the natural that think of us, that speak about a spiritual reality. You know, think of all the things we do. We have baptism. Isn't baptism a symbol in the natural of something that's a spiritual reality? What about when we take communion? Same thing, right? Very spiritually significant, isn't it? Something we do in the natural that represents something in the spiritual. There, you know, in Israel, there's all the feasts of the tabernacle and all, trumpets and all those things, all something in the physical that are actually talking about something in the spiritual realm. Aren't there? All the way through Scripture, there's signs and symbols. Things like colors have meaning. Numbers have meaning. All different kinds of things. And no wonder we have trouble understanding the Word of God sometimes. We sometimes see with our natural eyes again. And keep missing out on all the spiritual things and concepts that he's talking about when he's talking about different signs and symbols all the way through Scripture. But when these symbols, why does God speak in symbols? Why does Jesus speak in parables? Why did he do that? Got any ideas? Why did Jesus give it in a parable? Is that? To explain things, yeah, that we wouldn't understand otherwise. Yeah, that's one of the reasons. Yeah, to teach us something. Search and seek, you know. It's almost like he's putting puzzles out there and says, come on, look for them. You know, search the Scriptures and find these things. Have you noticed that if you come across something, all of a sudden it's like a bell goes off and it's like, ah, I get it. This great revelation that you get. And then you go and share it with someone because you're all excited. Look what this says. It dawned on me what this really means. And they say, oh yeah, I knew that. You know, but it's like, this is revelation to me. And it just pops out at you. A verse that you've read 100 times and you never really got it that way. Doesn't that bring joy to you when you get revelation like that? Yeah, we do. We love it. Yeah. How many of you love some of those Sudoku games and things like that? Come on, raise your hand and admit it. Yeah. Those are the smart ones. Those, you know, those, look at those hands. Yeah, they're the brains. You know, it's supposed to sharpen your mind, sharpen your brain. But you love it when it all comes together, right? And you figure it all out, and you've got it. You know, and it's like that with Scripture or spiritual principles. When all of a sudden we really catch what God's saying, he knows that we have so much fun doing that. But I think there's even another reason. Because when he gives you, like in a picture or a vision, if you got a vision, and then you don't understand it. I mean, sometimes you get a dream or something, and you don't have a clue what it means, but you just have a sense there might be a spiritual meaning behind it. I mean, I know we get those ones where we think, well, I must just have had pizza last night or something. It's one of those weird ones. But sometimes you just wake up with the sense like there's something behind it. There's some meaning behind it. I don't know what it is yet, right? And you write it all out. You know, I've got my little dream book beside my bed, and I write it all out, and sometimes I don't have a clue. Sometimes as I'm writing it, all of a sudden it starts, the meaning will start coming to me. Or sometimes it takes longer, and I don't understand it yet. You know what it makes me do? I have to go back to him for the answer. It's almost like he's teasing me. Not really, though, but he's teasing me. He's saying, okay, I give you a picture. I'm going to give you something here. But in order to find the answer, you have to come back to me. Come and ask me. Come and ask. Sometimes, you know, I mean, it's good to help have others help us sometimes to interpret. Sometimes there's certain things they can say. Well, often in Scripture, this is what this is, and this is what this is. But he really wants you to come to him for the answer. It's all because it's all about relationship. The whole thing is about relationship. I want to show you things, he says. I want to tell you things. I want to download things. I want to give you wonderful revelations that will excite your heart and bring joy to your heart when you discover things. But he said, most of all, I want you to come to me. I want you to encounter me in the middle of it. So if he gives you a dream or a vision, he's saying, I want you to encounter me. I want you to have a spiritual encounter with me right now. A connection with him when he can download the answers to you. Wow, it's all about relationship with him. So we keep going back to him for all these answers. And as I said, when I'm just blown away, the more I think about it, the more I realize that things all around me have spiritual significance. That's why I said, even sitting at the swimming pool. As soon as I started to think about the supernatural realm and that God was right there and turned my time and attention to him, my focus to him, as soon as I did, it's like everything around me has much deeper meaning than what I first thought. I'm not here just for a holiday. I'm not here just to enjoy the fresh air and sunshine because I have to stay indoors in the cold in Canada right now. It's much more than that. Yeah, he wanted me to have physical rest. He wanted me to have quality time with my husband and with my friends, John and Janice. And he wanted me to have quality time with him. And it's like rediscovering again that connection with him again. Of having, I was able to soak for the whole entire afternoon. Like at home, I never get that chance. You know, it was just wonderful. Such a treat for me. But he's saying again, it's all about relationship, all about experiencing that supernatural realm. So yeah, how many of you want physical healing? We want physical healing, right? We need that to break through for us. That's one of the things. Well, first of all, we say, okay, that's not as important as the spiritual things. However, when we do put our priorities right and we think in spiritual things and see things the way God wants and let his plans and purposes be accomplished in the middle of our trouble, in the middle of the problems we have, in the middle of our pain and our suffering, in the middle of that as we access the spiritual things that are so important to him, then that's when I believe, as I said, it's like the kingdom of God then invades the physical realm and things around us change. I've found that the kingdom of God, or that spiritual realm, there's this place we can find in the spiritual realm. It's the place of God's presence. And this is something that was curious to me. I'm going to read a couple of verses that I came across when, again, I got this revelation. This is probably one you already know too, right? But this is my revelation that I got that went boing. And yeah, maybe for some of you it'll be fresh for you as well, though. But realizing that his presence is a place. Isaiah 4, verses 5 and 6. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. That's you and me, by the way. Just look at the person next to you and say, in the presence of God, you're looking more beautiful every day. That's true, isn't it? Don't you think so? I think Trish looks more beautiful and younger than when I last saw her. I'm serious. You do. You're looking more beautiful and glorious all the time. It's true. And it's just in the presence of God. We start to glow and shine with his presence. I'll tell you, ladies, you want a beauty treatment, that's the best one you could ever get. Spend time in the presence of God and you glow with his presence. Whoa. Okay, so then it keeps going. So it's talking about last day verse, right? In that day, you know, one of those days. Okay. That the Lord will create over all of Mount Zion and over those who assemble there a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Now that's Old Testament language. When there's a glow of fire and a column of fire, a column of smoke, what did that represent? God's presence was there, right? And when it would lift, yeah, the cloud of his presence, his cloud of his glory would lift and move, then they would follow it, right? Okay, that was representing his presence. So that's what we're thinking of here right now. So let's keep going, because remember, this is a present day verse. Last day's verse? Anybody said you thought we were in the last days, right? Okay, so that means that this is for us in this time period. So it's saying then, over all this glory, those column of fire, the column of fire and smoke, his presence, his glory, over all that glory, will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and a shade from the heat of the day, a refuge and a hiding place from the storm and the rain. His presence is your hiding place. It's a place. It's a place. It's not just thinking of, you know, I don't know. It's not just that, again, something far off that we can't reach, that we can't attain to. This is saying it's like a canopy of glory over us, his presence that's our refuge and our hiding place. You can run into that place. You can just step into that place anytime when you are in, anybody in a storm in your life? Hard times in your life? You know, things going bad? Tough times? Mountains that you're trying to get through? This is saying it's like a canopy of glory, and all you do is you step underneath the canopy of the glory and say, here I am. Seriously, it's that simple. You see, in Scripture, all over the place, there are invitations to come. He says, come if you're thirsty. Come if you're hungry. Come into my gates, my courts with praise. Come. You know, come, come. Just all these invitations to come. And then James 4, verse 8 says, if you not draw near to me, I will. It's that simple. Do you believe the promises of God or not? He says, you come and he will be there for you. What if you don't feel him? Is he still there? What if you can't hear his voice? Is he still there? What if he feels so distant because you're going through a dry time in your life? Is he still there? Yeah. And all you do is come, and he's there. He's there. He's not way, way off in the distance somewhere that you can't access. I mean, we sing, even the song we sang tonight, you know, we sang that you are God in heaven, and here I am on earth. Well, we don't want to just think of him as so far away from him down here. Again, remember from Ephesians 2, verse 6, yeah, he's in heaven, but we're seated in heavenly places with him. So we're already right there with him. He's never far away. Positionally, authoritatively, yes, he's high and he's lifted up and we do exalt him and exalt his name. But we're right there with him. He's right beside. He's so close. Again, tomorrow I want to talk more about intimacy with him because he's so close. He's like in the very air we breathe. That's how close he is. He is so close, he's living right inside you if you've asked him into your life. That's how close he is, right inside you. You never have to look further than inside yourself. He's right there, taking up residence within you. He is so close. And yet somehow, we've made him being so far away, so distant. We've made that spiritual realm seem something that we just can't access. We can't get there. Maybe if I was some super spiritual person, someone that's so close to God like Trish is, then maybe I could access things from heaven. He says, no, it's for every single one of us. Every single one of us. He's so close. He wants us to know that, and he wants us to experience his nearness. He wants us to experience that supernatural realm of heaven that is all around us. He just wants you to step into that place of his presence. The place of his presence. Let me read another couple of verses about the place of his presence. Psalm 31, 20 to 21 says, in the shelter of your presence, you hide them. In your dwelling, you keep them safe. Or how about Psalm 91, verses 1 to 4? This is one a lot of us are familiar with. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Another version of the scripture says, in the secret place of the Most High. He who dwells there, it's in the place. It's a place. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress. See, He is that place. He is our hiding place. He is that place, but it is a place. And you are placed in Him, and He is placed in you. And you are in that place of His presence. Whoa. It says, He'll cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart if you make the Most High your dwelling. Even the Lord, who's my refuge, then He'll command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. See, we want to be aware of that supernatural realm of His presence that's all around us, that kingdom realm that is already right around us. You know, we just had Heidi Baker at one of our conferences just recently, and she just told this beautiful story. I mean, Heidi gets me every time. You know, if you know Heidi Baker at all, just her, she's one of my favorite speakers, but I don't know, she kills me every time. But she was talking about how just recently there's this little boy that came in, and they've got this little prayer hut. We've been in Mozambique, so I could visualize this prayer hut that she's talking about. It's just a little grass hut, you know, a circular one with a thatched roof on top of it, and they meet for prayer in this little prayer room. And they're having their prayer meeting. And while they were there, all of a sudden she noticed this little boy. She knew that he didn't belong at their orphanage. She's one he'd never seen him before. Just this little boy, 7 or 8 years old, just cowering in a corner. And he was all beaten up. He couldn't even see out of one eye. He was blind in one eye. He was so beaten and bruised and battered. And he just cowered in that corner and just stayed there. And as they were having their prayer meeting, and she was just so moved by this little guy. She went over to him and she said, all of a sudden she realized that when she reached out to touch this little guy, she said she stepped into another realm of glory. Think about that for a minute. She's saying, you see, when you stretch out your hand and you touch the poor, or you have a heart for your neighbor who's hurting, you stretch out your hand and do anything like that in His name, you have stepped into the kingdom realm. You have stepped into another realm of the glory of God. And that, so that's what she was explaining. Again, kingdom of God is all around you. Kingdom of realm is here. Maybe we don't see it. Our physical eyes are so trained to see things in the physical realm that we need to train our spiritual eyes to see into that supernatural realm that's all around us. And that when you touch through, when you in an act of kindness, you touch through to His kingdom realm. When you just sense the nudging of God to pray for a neighbor or pray for someone, you've just stepped in the supernatural realm. In the supernatural realm of heaven. And there's things that are happening then in the supernatural realm because you've touched through to the other side. And then when things, the other way around, when things like a healing happens, how many of you have ever had a physical healing in your body? When that happened, the spiritual realm of heaven touched through into the physical natural realm, and it was manifested here on earth when that happened, wasn't it? And more we're seeing heaven is invading earth and earth is invading heaven, isn't it? And as we turn our eyes and our focus and our attention is set on that spiritual realm, then those things of heaven become a reality here on earth. Wow. See, we're still in the mess of things as far as, oh, we've got our luggage. That we broke through. How many of you know sometimes we have to stand and fight for the kingdom, don't we? And not just give up. And it took a while, and we did have to pay some money. Again, you don't have to appease man sometimes with some of those things by the law that they live by. But we live in a different realm. And when we got all this luggage and we got our, you know, got our suitcases and our you know, guitars and things like that, we thought, yeah, this feels right now. It feels right because these are kingdom instruments and we've come here to worship the Lord. And these are the tools that whereby he gave it to us. It's not about physical guitars. It's about worship, which is a kingdom value. And we want the Lord's purposes and plans to be fulfilled no matter what we're going through. No matter what hard time we're going through right now, we want to see his way, don't we? Not with what we see with our physical eyes. There's Jeremy said we were going to tell you about a couple of stories because God is on the move on this earth. We are seeing things that are just so amazing. There have been a couple more things since we last saw you. How many years ago was it? 2 or 3 years ago we were last here. Do you remember, Trish? Almost three, yeah. Well, and I think we were here in about February, weren't we? Yeah, okay. So, let's see, trying to figure out time frame here. It was almost 2 years ago. No, it would be 2 years ago now. 2 years ago now, so it's after we were here, we went to Iceland. Talk about, you know, coming here to the hot, you know, and then we go to the cold. We went to Iceland only about 6 or 8 months or so after we were here. It was October after we've been here. And we went to do a Soaking in His Presence weekend. Again, we talk about, you know, spending time, lots of time in God's presence, you know, soaking, just getting saturated in his presence, saturated in his glory, spend time listening, spend time encountering him, and letting him give us visions, all those things that we love to do in our soaking times with him. And so we were doing a Soaking in His Presence weekend. And 2 weeks before we went, something had happened at home. And that was, Jeremy's talking about the fact our son, Luke, he and his wife, Heather, now are expecting a baby to make us proud grandparents. It's supposed to be due February 1st, but now they're figuring out they must be wrong on their due date. Now they're saying it's going to come any second. I'm saying, just wait 4 more days now. 4 more days, right? I want to be home. But same time, it's like, okay, Lord, if you know the timing, I'm going to release it to you. I'll be at peace if the baby gets born when I'm not there. But the Lord knows my heart, and I think he's holding out for me. We'll see what happens. But my son's wife, Heather, who's pregnant now, just before we went to Iceland, 2 weeks beforehand, she's a prophetic artist, a prophetic painter. Went to university and majored in art. And she and another lady from our at our church as well, our electric guitarist wife, Christine, the two of them do a lot of prophetic art at a lot of our conferences. So they were asked to go to this big Christian gathering. There were like 10,000 people in Toronto that all got together, which is, that's a miracle in itself, I'll tell you, to get that many Christians together in the city of Toronto. And they were having something called Heaven's Rehearsal. Now, doesn't that sound great? Heaven's Rehearsal. It's a lovely name, isn't it? And there were all these churches and different worship teams all together from different churches and things. And our daughter-in-law, Heather, and Christine were asked to paint, do this prophetic art. And just before they went up for the worship, and they had everything all set up, you know, and the cloth underneath, you know, where the painting was going to be done and everything, everything's ready. The intercessors came and started to pray over Christine and over Heather. And then someone just said to Heather, "You have just gobs of gold and oil all down your back." And she looked, and sure enough, she all splat, big splats of it all down her back. And all over the sheet where they were going to be painting, you know, above the that was underneath the paint, the painting area. Just, she's covered in this gold. And just a few minutes later, Mike, our electric guitarist, he came out, because he's going to be on the worship team and play with his electric guitar for worship. And he didn't know what had just happened there with all that gold disc down all Heather's back. And he got out his guitar and everything to get tuned up. And all of a sudden, splat, right in front of him, and he looked up. You know, it's just a huge, huge auditorium. It holds these 10,000 people. And all it is this huge, you know, cement or whatever it is, roof over the top of it, and couldn't figure out what was happening. But he looked down, and what had splattered on in front of him was gobs of oil and gold in front of him. And as soon as he did, something happened on the inside of him, because he had been, I mean, for years, he and his wife had been struggling with financial things. And it seemed like every time they got ahead a little bit, the enemy would rob it from them again. You know, and they were so discouraged. They're part of our cell group at home. And so, you know, week after week, we're praying for them, you know, to encourage them and lift them up again and pray for financial breakthrough for them. And, you know, something good would happen, and then it'd all be robbed from them again. And they were so discouraged. When Mike saw this gob of oil fall and gold fall in front of him, he thought, if God can make gold fall from the ceiling like that, my finances are no problem to him. And all of a sudden, it just lifted permanently off of him. And, you know, from over that next week or two, they said there were sovereign things. Like, Christine sold a couple of huge paintings. He got a huge order for his CDs from an unexpected source. And all of a sudden, you know, he had started a recording studio. All of a sudden, he had all this work. He hasn't even been able to work on his own CDs ever since then, because he's got so much work coming in. And that's at a time of financial crisis, you know, that all this is happening. But something in his heart changed first. And when something in his heart changed, he had faith now that, yeah, no problem, no problem. And from that time, that pattern was broken off of their lives. And I'll tell you, he's a different guy. You know, his car broke down a while back, and you know, it cost a lot of money, and then right away the van broke down as well. And, you know, he was at total peace about it. I thought, is this the guy I know? You know, totally at peace about it. And it's like, and he was saying, he says, you know, something's changed inside me. I'm learning how to live out of my spirit instead of out of my flesh. I'm learning how to live out of, you know, that supernatural realm of what's real and what's real important, instead of out of my flesh and what I see with my physical eyes. Something's totally different about it. And he doesn't, as I said, just, you know, things are just, his finances have turned around. And that's why I say it's manifested on the physical realm when we first access it in the spiritual realm. Well, I was telling this story about what happened, and with Heather, my daughter-in-law, as well, when she, after that point of this gold all falling down on the back of her, every time she reached in her, you know, closet to get change the clothes out, there's gold all over it. Every time she started to do something creative for her, she was taking graphic art design at school, there's gold all over it. She printed out something through the printer, black and white thing that she, you know, that she had created on the computer, and printed out, and it's got this huge smudge of gold all the way through. She turned it in anyway. The teacher said, wow, that's a neat effect. How did you do that? Had a little help. But something changed inside her when that happened. The kingdom of heaven breaking through in the spiritual realm, the kingdom of heaven in the spiritual realm breaking through to the physical realm that changes us on the inside. But also the other way around. When we see things in the spiritual realm, it breaks through to the physical, doesn't it? Well, I started in Iceland. I told them about that story. And we had been soaking all weekend, talking about the Father's love, talking about intimacy with God and all those things. That just 2 weeks before that, there had been, there was 6 or 7 guys that had become Christians just over the couple weeks before that, that were from a drug rehab center. Just a little revival that took place in this drug rehab center. This one guy, Baldor, he was on the floor the whole weekend, flat on his face at the front. He was meeting his Father God for the first time. Find out how loving his Heavenly Father was. And he was encountering the Father the whole weekend. And at the end of the week, I said the weekend conference is over and everyone was going home. There were some Bible school students too. There were 7 Bible school students. And that were with us and helping us and everything that whole week. When we left the next, well, first of all, there were 3 people that accepted the Lord that by the end of the weekend. One girl who walked in off the streets because we were in her school and she wanted to know what was going on in her school, just came and listened and went up to someone and said, how can I become a Christian too? That was easy. And another young man who came with his mom, and you know, he heard this thing about the gold. He was scoffing at it. I said, "Oh, that can't be God. I don't believe it." He was, you know, about 15 years old and real rebellious and didn't even want to be there. And he didn't believe all that stuff. Well, his mom had a vision. And in this vision, she said that she had this most amazing vision where it felt like warm liquid love just poured into her. And in the vision, she said it was actually like oil and gold that was pouring in and pouring in to the inside. She felt it as warmth just flooding her with this love that she'd never experienced before. And then when she opened up her eyes and looked at her hands were literally covered in oil and gold. And then her son, who was beside her, he said, "I believe now." See, he accepted the Lord that day too. And one of the girlfriends of one of the guys from the drug rehab center had also, he was trying to win her to the Lord, and she said, "I just don't get it. I just don't get it." Well, she came and she heard a teaching that we did on the power of the cross. And all of a sudden, it was like that revelation of that bell going off, like, "Oh, now I get it. Of course I want to accept Jesus." So she did. So three of them, all before the weekend was over. But the next day, what's better is even after we left. Who knows what will happen on Monday after we leave, right? I mean, it's not us. Get us out of the way, right? Let God do whatever God wants to do, right? But on the Monday, this one guy, Baldor, the guy who was a drug dealer, ex-drug dealer, taking off cocaine like this, by the way, no side effects, he and the Bible school students decided to get together in the next, I mean, two opposites, you know. But they came back to the school the next day. They believed in this resident anointing. God's been doing so much all weekend. He must be still there. And so they came back to the school, but it's school time now, right? School's on. They came into the school cafeteria at lunchtime and started witnessing to the kids. And at first, you know, no one's really listening to them. All of a sudden, Baldur just stops. He says, "Anybody here ever been in jail?" This is school lunchtime, right? The kids just said, like, you could hear a pin drop. He said, "I want you to know I have." And then he went on to talk about the drugs he got into and how it got in deeper and deeper and deeper, and he was in such bondage, and then told about how Jesus set him free off cocaine like that. And then he said, "How many of you want to accept a Jesus like that? You stand to your feet if you do." 30 kids stood up, gave their lives to Jesus in front of all their peers. Over lunch hour. Yeah. Then the next day he said, "On to the next school." So Baldur and these Bible school students, on to the next school the next day. And again, there's 15 or something like that the next day. And on to the next school, another 17. In the meantime, there were things that were happening, like on that Monday night, there's a whole group of people that had met for soaking in someone's house. And the presence of God fell on them. And they were all on their faces before the Lord. The weight of God's presence on them, they said it was just amazing with God's presence. And when they finally got up to go home, their jewels and gold all over the floor. They're going home with jewels in their pockets. And 3 days later, at someone else's house, someone else that had been at the conference, again, another group of people met for soaking. Same thing. God's presence fell the same way. And you know, they said that everywhere they turned, things were happening. Like, one lady started to tell a testimony of a Christian radio station. One older lady came to her afterwards, really angry, and she said, "That can't be of God. I don't believe in any of that stuff." You know, so she was just really bugged by that. So she went off. An hour later, came back. Said, "I've got to apologize." Tears streaming down her face, stretched out her hands, covered in gold. I love it. I love it. People were going home. One lady walked in her living room and she said, "All my furniture was covered in gold." You know, it's just appearing everywhere. And we think, why would God do something like that? I mean, it seems so frivolous. So, like, why would he do it? All I can explain is the kingdom of God is invading and touching through to this earth. Touching through this earth. And it's changing people on the inside. That's the point of it, right? That's the point of it, the kingdom value. Again, we don't care about the physical things, but the point is it's kingdom of God and the kingdom realm touching through and showing up in physical, tangible ways, and it's changing people forever. in the kingdom of God. We know of at least 200 people that accepted Jesus in 2 weeks following that weekend. At least 200. We lost count after that. We were getting like 3-4 emails a day. People say, things around here have gone bananas. You know, all these stories of all these things that God was doing everywhere. Do you know, that started, triggered a revival in Iceland. Within about 4 or 5 months, one of the ladies that had been a pastor's wife, they got into business because they'd gotten so burned in ministry and fried in ministry. But now she and her husband, they're the ones helping to all these new believers and discipling all these. They got pulled into it whether they liked it or not. You know? In fact, do you know, at this point, there's the fourth church that's a direct result of that revival has now started in Iceland, in Reykjavik. The fourth one, direct result of what happened that weekend. Pastors rekindled, refired again. And all these new believers. There's one of these churches, you know who the senior pastor of it is? Baldur. Like, now he's only 2 years old as a Christian. He was less than that. He was a year old as a Christian when he became the pastor of this church. Because there were so many that had been coming to the Lord, so many drug addicts, people out of prison, you know, prostitutes, all these people. And it's to the point where there were some of the people in churches that were saying, I don't want my kids hanging out with those people. They just have all these rough edges, you know. But they're all brand new Christians, need to be discipled. So there was a need for a church where they could just be loved and accepted and discipled for who they were. So now Baldur is the church. He came, the pastor, he came to our church to take the pastors and leaders school there. And then went back to start. And this other couple that had been pastors before, they said that they're still in business, but they said they're helping to disciple. But what they said is, well, we have to bring correction to Baldur about a dozen times a day. But, you know, he's going for it. And he's got the anointing on him to do this. It's amazing. But four churches now that have started. A whole revival has started. That the one pastor's, ex-pastor's wife that are in business, there was one point where they were having nightly meetings, and she was doing most of the preaching, and there were about 800 or 900 people showing up every single night. And there aren't a lot of people in Reykjavik, Iceland, you know. It's a revival that is still taking place right now, the kingdom of God invading this earth. It's his presence. When God's presence shows up, things happen. It's not about people. It's certainly not about us. It's nothing we did. All we did is showed people the Father, the love of the Father. All we did is teach them to come into the place of his presence. All we did is show them that it was accessible for them. And what happened is we went back a year later. How many of you know that the economic crisis probably hit Iceland more than any other nation in the world, didn't it? That was just over a year ago in October. And we went back in October, just after the crisis had happened. And they were telling us, they said, you know, grocery stores have shut down. You go and there's nothing left on the shelves. We can't import anything in here. Our money can't get out of the country. And they said, everything's gone. People that had money, they lost everything. And they said they had people that they knew in business that were committing suicide. They'd lost everything. And yet, in spite of the fact that this couple, they had three huge businesses, and they'd shut two of them down. They're in the process of just trying to combine to make one at least work. But they were going to lose their house. They were going to lose everything. And you know what they said to us when we came? Thank you for teaching us to find the place of God's presence. They said, we're at the weekend and the overflow from that weekend. They said, we're so much at peace. It's totally inexplainable. We are such peace. Even if we lose everything, even if we lose our houses, all the money, we have learned to find the place of his presence. So no matter what storm goes on around us, we've found the place of his presence. Wow. We were just blown away by that reaction. I mean, we got a sense that God was doing something different because this couple that had those three big businesses and had been pastors before were helping to finance a lot of the revival that was going on. And now their finances were being pulled out from under them. God was doing something new. It didn't stop the revival. It helped people to realize it has nothing to do with people. It has nothing to do with earthly resources and finances. It's going to carry on. If God says so, it's going to carry on. The kingdom of God will prevail against anything the enemy throws at you. The kingdom of God, his plans, his purposes are going to prevail in your life over the destiny and the calling that's in your life, no matter what anything happens around, no matter who does what towards you, no matter what the enemy tries to throw at you, that they cannot stop God's plans and purposes over your life. If you live in that kingdom realm and have his priorities and look at things the way he does instead of the way you would with your natural eyes, you will start to see the kingdom of heaven being revealed in your life and the kingdom of God being manifest in your life, even in the spiritual, in the natural realm all around you. That natural realm is closer than you can think of, just like God's presence. It's everywhere. It's all around you. He is so close to you. He surrounds you. Psalm 139 says, he's above you, he's behind you, he's all around you, he surrounds you, he's inside you. He is so close to you. The kingdom of God is that close to you. And it's not hard to access. Not hard to access. You just turn your attention and your focus to him. See, I really believe that's one thing, reason why he's getting us to soak these days. Saying, will you just come? Turn your eyes to me. Give me all your time and a focus and attention right now, where nothing else in this earth matters right now but me. Will you just come and give me that kind of time and attention? And as soon as we do, we step into that realm of kingdom, realm of heaven. Step into supernatural. I said you can do it all day. It doesn't have to be an hour-long soaking time to get there either. It's good to have your good long chunks of soaking time. It is, because you'll find you get in deeper and deeper and you start to see more and experience more all the time when you do that in that spiritual realm of heaven. But all day long, as you turn your attention to him, it's going to affect how you react to things. It's going to affect how you see things, how you see people. As you start to access what the Father sees, what he's saying, what he's doing, what he's trying to accomplish, it's going to change everything. His presence makes all the difference. It changes everything. Do you want the kingdom of God active in your life? Yeah, so do I. I'll tell you more stories later, some more things that have been happening. God is on the move. And I'm sure if we asked you, you know, what countries are you aware of, or when, what do you know of? Maybe even here in Hamilton, there have been wonderful things happening. I think that some of your soaking times, people have been telling me you've had amazing things happen in your soaking times, haven't you? When you get together to do that, or in your private time, God shows up. He shows up. Whenever we come and gather like this, and I sense when you came hungry this weekend, I sense it's because you want to encounter him. It's not to hear us talk. It doesn't matter whether we came from Canada or whether we came from next door. The whole point is we've come to meet with him, haven't we? I hope that's why you've come. Because if you have, you will encounter him. If you're hungry and you thirst for him, you are going to be filled and satisfied, and you know, you will drink from that well of living water that he promises for those that come to drink and who are thirsty. How thirsty are you this weekend? Are you thirsty?
Yes.
Are you desperate?
Yes.
Sometimes I think that's why we have problems, so we get real desperate. We recognize how much we need him then. Yeah. Again, Clive, we were talking with Clive, and he was talking about someone, again, that doesn't know the Lord, but because now he has a need, a very physical need for healing, now when he's so appreciative of people praying for him, now he knows that he needs God. That's why the people that are the poorest nations of the world, they're coming to the Lord in droves. They know they need him. If you think you're satisfied and you don't really need anything, I'll tell you that's a false sense of being satisfied. Because we need him so desperately. We just need to acknowledge how much we need him. We need to cry out for more of him, like when we cried out in that song, just let it rain, Lord, let it rain. Let your glory fall, Lord. You're all that I want. You're all that I need. Like that to me really says the cry of my heart. I need to be so desperate for him, because when I'm desperate, he comes. When I recognize I have a need for him, he'll show up. He will come. So if you've got a problem tonight, great. Great. For one thing, you're set up for a miracle. I mean, you want to see signs and wonders and miracles? Anybody want to see signs and wonders and miracles? The very first thing you need? A problem. I mean, if you didn't have a problem, you wouldn't need a miracle, would you? How are you going to see signs and wonders and miracles then? So you got some problems? In fact, you have to have a problem so big, so huge, that there's no way you have resources for it. There's no way you can figure out an answer to it. There's no way conceivable around it that you can see. That's the kind of problem you need if you want to see signs and wonders and miracles. Anyone got a problem like that? There you go. See, you're set up for signs and wonders and miracles. Wow. And again, I just believe as we turn to him and see his kingdom plans and purposes in those things, it's going to turn it all around. And then the enemy's going to have to take a back seat. We can stomp on his head because we say the kingdom of God is going to prevail. God's plans and purposes are going to prevail. But sometimes we have to stand in that. I was going to actually share a little bit from crossing the Jordan. But I'm not even going to get there tonight. Maybe we'll see if there's anything that the Lord prompts me with that for further in the weekend. But, you know, in order to cross over the Jordan to get the other side, like, do you have promises on the other side of the Jordan? Have you got promises you haven't come to yet that haven't been fulfilled yet? Yeah, and how many of you are standing in the middle of that water right now? And in Joshua 3, it says that River Jordan right at that point was at flood stage. But it also says at harvest time, it's at flood stage. Yeah. Do we think we're in the harvest time? I'm seeing a harvest all over the world right now. There's a harvest that's been amazing all over the world right now. We're at harvest time. No wonder the River Jordan is at flood stage. It's amazing then when you stand in that river, you know it's the torrents are coming against you at that time. It's like an obstacle to get to the other side, isn't it? Torrents coming against you. Don't be surprised, Jesus said. You know, or the scripture says, don't be surprised when various trials, you know, come. And yet we are. You know? But this is coming against you. Sometimes you've got to stand in that river. They've told the priests, you stand in that river. And when they stood in that river, you know what happened? The water just all backed up in a heap further on up until it was all, they were standing on dry land. So then the rest of them can walk across. Sometimes you're going to have to stand against the torrents. Say, I'm not going to put up with this. If God says I'm going to the other side, if God promised me this, I'm going to the other side, and I'm not going to let the enemy take it away, and I'm going to stand in the middle of this. It means it changes how we react to hard things that are going on in our life, doesn't it? You're going to say, I'm going to stand firm on dry land. I will see dry land if I stand here. Whoa. And let God's plans and purposes be fulfilled, and speak to that mountain and cast it into the sea. Wow. We want to see God's plans and purposes fulfilled in our lives. Whoa. Well, enough talking. Kingdom of God, come. Whoa. Will of God be done. Did you know that's another imperative verse? It's written in a command. Jesus said, this is how I want you to pray. Don't say, please, please, God, would you heal me? Please, please, God, would you take this mountain out of my life? Pleading isn't faith anyway, is it? No. No, that's not how we're supposed to be praying, okay? Instead, he says, this is how I want you to pray. First of all, you say, our Father who art in heaven. In other words, you worship first. We had a great time worshiping. Did you worship him? I did. Hallelujah. I did. I love to worship him. And again, when we worship him, I'll tell you, heaven breaks loose. You know, in fact, I came across a verse in Exodus 23, verses 24 and 5 one time. It says, if you will worship the Lord your God. Maybe I'll turn to it quickly because this is a key. I might have shared this when I was here last time, actually. Exodus 23. 25 and 26. If you'll worship the Lord your God, his blessing will be on your food and your water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. In other words, you'll have lots of fruitfulness, and I will give you a full lifespan. If you worship the Lord your God, you see, worship breaks things and brings the kingdom. Again, it, for one thing, it focuses us on the kingdom, doesn't it, when we worship and we see him and all his glory and we give our love to him. We break through again into that spiritual realm. We're accessing that spiritual realm of heaven when we do that, when we worship. And then it's going to be, we'll see the manifestation of the kingdom of God in on our physical realm, in the food and the water and all the things that are all around, and the blessings that will come out in your life as a result of it. So the Lord, he said, Jesus said, when I teach you to pray, I want you to pray like this, he said. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. And then he said, then pray, kingdom of God, come. In the command, he says, this is how I want you to pray. Kingdom of God come, will of God be done. It's like a command that you are saying. He wants you to pray like that. Do you remember when Jesus was with the centurion, Roman centurion came up to him one time and said, I want you to pray. He says, I want you to heal my servant. And Jesus said, okay, I'll come with you. And he said, no, you don't need to come. He said, I'm a man under authority, and I have others under my authority. He said, I understand authority. So he's saying, you just speak the word, and I know he's going to be healed. And Jesus turned and said, I haven't seen this much faith in all of Israel. Here's a man who's not even an Israelite. And he gets the prize for the most faith. And he's saying, you know, this man, in other words, he understands authority. He understands this kingdom principle better than anybody in all of Israel did. He said, you just say the word and he'd be healed. And he was. And see, in this verse then, when Jesus said, this is how I want you to pray, kingdom of God come, will of God be done. Well, can you tell the Holy Spirit what to do? We don't want to tell the Holy Spirit what to do, right? So that's why we tend to plead instead. Say, please, God, would you do this? I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just going to ask you, please, please. And plead with God. No. Jesus said, when you pray, kingdom of God, come. He said, don't you understand authority? Because Jesus is saying, I gave you authority on earth to bring the kingdom to this earth. We are in his, he is our great commander, isn't he? And our great commander said, we are supposed to say, kingdom of God, come, and will of God be done. That is how he instructed you to pray. And that's how he wants us to do it. See, what you're doing is you're accessing the kingdom and you're bringing it down to earth. You know, Jesus also said, kingdom of God is within your reach. Do you want to reach up your hands for a minute? See, the kingdom of God is no further than the end of your fingertips, because he said it's within your reach. So what you do is you grab hold of the kingdom of heaven, grab hold of it, and you bring it down to earth and say, kingdom of God, come to this earth. Now, if you've got you need healing in your body, just say, grab hold of that kingdom of God and say, kingdom of God, come, and then take it to whatever part of your body needs healing and bring it to that area of your body. Say, kingdom of God, be manifest in my body. Kingdom of God, come. Will of God be done. That as it is in heaven, so it is on earth. Is there any sickness in heaven? No, bring that health down to earth. Is there any need, anything, a shortage of anything up in heaven? No. Well, then we just grab hold of the kingdom and bring it down to this earth. We want the kingdom of heaven to break through this earth, and he told us how to do it by saying, kingdom of God, come, will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whoa. That changes how you pray, doesn't it? Changes how we pray for healing at our church, I'll tell you. When we just grab hold of the kingdom and say, kingdom of God, come. And we have seen, it's multiplied. The number of people we see getting healed now as compared to before. We are learning to access the kingdom of God and bring it down, have it be manifest here on earth. Wow. I think Jeremy's going to teach more in healing tomorrow. But let's just start with that. Just why don't you stand up where you are as far as just for yourself and your own body. We want to access things of the kingdom of God and bring it down to earth. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, my need is a financial one. Okay, finances are no problem for God, right? There's lots of gold in heaven. Oh. Whatever it is you need is a breakthrough. But remember, though, there's a key as far as making sure that your priorities line up with God's priorities. That is very key, because we tend to pray with our own eyes and with our own wants and our own desires, the way we want to see things happen. Right? But if you can start by saying, Lord, I want to see things, my situation, the way you see it. Can you ask him that? Say, Lord, I want to see my situation the way you see it. I am very confused by some of the things going on in my life. But Lord, I want to see the way you see them. The things that are important to you, I want to have important to me. Wow. I surrender my plans and purposes to you so that your plans and purposes can be accomplished in my life. How many of you found that God's timing is a little different than ours? You know, what he said, when he says, oh, just a short time, his short times are a lot longer than that mine sometimes. He sees things a little differently. But God, we want to surrender our wills to yours. We want to say, yes, Lord, have your way, not mine. We want to surrender to you right now all of the things of this world that have meant so much to us. All the things we thought were so important, but really when we start thinking about the kingdom, we realize maybe they're not so important after all. We know our suffering is just a temporary thing. We know, Lord, that you are accomplishing a greater glory within us. We just surrender to you our plans, our purposes, our destiny, our futures, all the things that we're afraid of. Surrender them to you, Lord. Do you want to just give those to him? If you're afraid of something, especially things that are coming in the future, of the unknown, say, Lord, I surrender these things to you. They're yours anyway. Lord, I want to access all the things of heaven that are so important to you. Things that you've promised me. Things that are my inheritance. All the spiritual blessings that are mine in the heavenly realms. Lord, I want to reach up and I want to grab hold of those things, because those belong to me as a son or as a daughter of yours. That they are mine. Lord, we don't want to let the enemy rob us of those things anymore. Would you open up our spiritual eyes to see all around us? Whoa. Spiritual eyes to see in that spiritual realm. Lord, we want to see what the angels are up to. We want to agree and cooperate with heaven and with what you want to accomplish on this earth and the life all that's around us. Whoa. Lord, we want to admit right now, sometimes our reactions haven't been always right with things that go on around us. Because we see with natural eyes, forgive us, Lord, for our wrong reactions. Thank you that we didn't fail. We just to get to try the test over again. But we want to try it with new eyes this time, Lord. New reactions with our hearts changed. With our hearts changed. I just believe the Lord's just saying right now, too, he wants to give fresh vision to some whose visions have died. Your dreams have died. Maybe they seem to have died because you've got your eyes off onto other things that you thought were important. But I believe that when he gives you vision, when he gives you a dream, when he gives you promises, when he speaks it into your heart, it will give you faith that the impossible is possible. It'll be a supernatural faith that'll rise up inside of you that'll help you to grab hold of those kingdom things and be able to believe for those things, and that will bring them to pass in your life. As he speaks his word,